welcome back to Doing Our Worst. It's been a couple of weeks since you've seen us. We had a few little life things go on. How are you doing, Beck?
I'm good. How are you?
That was a very short answer. Considering I know what's been going on, honey, so do you want to talk about it?
Oh, my Lord above. I just, you know, they say like the biggest stresses are like the three biggest things you'll do in your life: moving house, having a wedding, having a baby.
Yeah. Isn't it like divorce, death, and moving house are like the top three?
Are they?
Yeah, allegedly.
Wow.
It could be fake news, but that's what
I'm honest.
You what, sorry?
I would put baby up there if I'm honest.
Oh yeah, for sure. But
yeah, moving house, it's been hardcore. A lot more hardcore than I thought. And when we went to see the house the first time, I feel like on the first time you go and see a house, like you go with like these rose tinted glasses, especially if it's something that you really want to like and you kind of don't see anything. And then like the second time we went, I saw it for how the tenants had left it. What were they doing in there? That's all I've got to say.
Walk us through it. Give us what did you see? What did you smell?
The first, what did you hear and feel?
What did you squelch?
The first thing that I found really quite bizarre was there was TV brackets in every room. And when I mean every room, I fully mean every single room.
Like the toilet.
I mean, I would go as far as, no, it wasn't the toilet, but it was, that's how it felt. And like TV brackets, like there was three in one room at one point. Like, I don't know what they were doing. I don't know what they were doing in there. But anyway, there was TV brackets in every room. One of the like, there's like a beautiful big open fireplace, which is like full dream for me. Like, I was like, yes, I'm sold on that.
Love
alone.
The fireplace.
And they put like a bracket on the top of that. And the TV must have been that heavy that they've had to like ramshackle it into the plaster. So like the plaster's concaved around the bracket. Like they're just, it's very cowboy-esque in everything that they've done. My favorite one was that they had got, they got electric wired outside because they had like a hot tub and like a little heater and a TV bracket, obviously, on the outside of the house.
On the outside of the house.
On the outside of the house,
yes. That would make more sense in like Australia. I remember like one of my friends, they had that for football and stuff, like for barbecues. Yeah. But I mean, we live in the UK where the weather is pretty shocking at the best of times.
So yeah, you get 2 weeks of sun, if that.
Yeah.
And what they'd done is in what will be Ivy's room, Ivy's nursery, they had plugged in an extension lead on the outside plug.
Good.
So think of a plug, an extension lead. They'd ran the extension lead up the house, drilled a hole, and then pulled the extension lead through the hole into that room. So the extension lead was plugged in outside for the inside TV bracket.
That sounds like something I would do.
That's death.
Yeah, exactly. Stupid. Like, I'm in DIY hell at the moment. We can talk about that later on, but like, I'm in DIY hell, and that literally sounds like the laziest, most dumb job. And it does sound like something I'd be like, oh, do you know what?
Fuck it, we'll do let's it. Risk it. Like, let's go. I was like, what the hell? In one of the rooms, there's like a massive wax, like they must have spilt wax, and it's like huge across the carpet. There's like rips all in. I was like, how did we not see this?
That's what I'm wondering. I'm like, you girl, you had your rose tinted glasses on, the desperation.
I was like, yeah, love it.
I always think they're like, are they rose tinted glasses or are they desperation glasses?
Because I just don't want to even see it.
Yeah. It's like going to the food shops hungry, just don't do it, you know?
Yeah. However, having said that, the house itself is stunning. Like, we've had really good weather over the last couple of weeks in the UK, so the sun beaming through. We went and took Jack's mom and her partner Richard round on Sunday, and the sun was like beaming and we'd got the work started. So like, we've had a full repaint, all TV brackets took off,
gorgeous,
every wall. And it just looked like, oh my God, chef's kiss.
Okay,
so
good.
It's full blown, complete dream house. Like, I am constantly on Pinterest. I'm going to be living in a farmhouse next Friday and I am off my tits. Excited.
Off your tits. Oh my gosh. I am so pleased for you. I think that moving house and finding a house is so stressful. I've had some absolute nightmares, honestly. It's been it can be a wild ride.
Yeah. What's your DIY hell?
Oh, so it's honestly been like the least sexy version of 50 Shades of Taupe in my bedroom. I have had to order about like 15 or 16 like different test pots of taupe to try and find the right shade of taupe. If I'm being completely honest with myself, I still don't know if I got there in the end, but I just could not.
No more.
I couldn't look at another shade of beige, honestly. And yeah. I was like, fine, this is going to do. So it's taken me 3 months to paint a very regular square bedroom because I couldn't find the right colors. I ordered the wrong color by accident. Then I painted the wall the wrong color by accident. And I was like, this doesn't feel right. And I was, as I was painting it. And then I kept going. And then I was like, this is the wrong color. So I painted a whole wall, like this like dark mauve color. Like, what an idiot. This is what I mean by the fact that I probably would have put like an extension cord out the window.
Yes.
And, you know, like, I think you do get to a point as well where you're like, oh, whatever. Whatever.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing it alone as well. And I just don't recommend. I have had to rope a couple of friends in to just be like, please, I will do anything. I'll sell my firstborn, like, just paint my bedroom with me. So, yeah. So that's been that. And then I also, I need a few other things done. Like, my hallway is a disaster because I want to do molding in my hallway. And
you started that, no?
I did, yeah. It took me like an hour and a half to cut 3 little pieces of molding. I'm doing something wrong. I'm doing something wrong. It shouldn't be like this. I've been gaslit by TikTok because on TikTok, allegedly, it looks really easy. And they were like, oh, you can do it within a couple of hours. Then please explain, Sandra, why it took me 1 hour and a half to cut 3 little planks of wood and 4 near mental breakdowns. Please explain. So anyway, that's been interesting. So I've currently just like got my hallway, which is where you walk into my house, all taped up, and there's like a big splodge of green paint on one of the walls because why do small neat little test pot like samples?
No.
Why do that when you could just make it look like a fucking nightmare? So that's where I am. That's where I'm at. I'm really good. I'm doing well.
I'm loving life. Yeah. It's hard as well because like getting help, like as in actual help, carpenter or like they're spenny, aren't they?
Yeah. I'm trying to be a DIY girly. And at the moment, I think
it's time.
Yeah. I did see something the other day though. My friend sent me this kit that you can buy and it's like stick on wall moldings.
Yeah. That's on Amazon.
And so I'm like, this could potentially change my life, not to be dramatic or anything. So I was like, screw it. I'm just going to do that. Why am I standing here with my little saw?
No one needs real wood. Yeah, no one needs a saw.
It's real wood, but you stick it on. And I'm like, great, convenience. Yes.
Pull it off, stick it on. Yeah, I saw that. I saw an advert for that the other day, actually. And I was like, okay, I like it.
Yeah.
Because I want to do that in our bedroom. I want to do like the full.
It does look gorgeous.
Behind the bed. Yeah.
It makes it look expensive.
Bouger.
We love.
Yeah, house, we've been weaning. We've been learning new things. Ivy is like a dream. I just I can't believe how amazing she is. Like, she's so clever. You know when you're just like, you shouldn't be able to understand me right now, but I've asked you to do something and you've done it. Like, it's really weird.
Yeah, babies understand a lot more than they let on.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, she learned peekaboo yesterday.
Big day.
Big day in the household. It's been lovely. I've come out of the feelings of hell and I've gone back into like, oh my God, I just can't be without you at any given moment.
Aww.
That's where I'm at the moment.
I think that's really nice because you were going through like a sleep deprived hellscape.
Still there for sure. Okay. But it's getting better. The sleep isn't getting better, but the hell is getting better.
Okay,
but
that's
I think
good.
When we get into the new house, she'll go into her own room and I think that will be helpful. And maybe potentially look at getting a sleep trainer or just asking ChatGPT to give me a few tips and following the guy.
ChatGPT. Honestly, I used it. What did we do without it? Because I, for one, do nothing now except molding. Because I, like, literally the other day I used it to hype me up.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It was incredible. It was such a little hype girl for me. I was like, this is what's going on today for me, ChatGPT. Like, any words of wisdom would be appreciated. And they were like, Katie, I get it. Like, it was like talking to a girlfriend. I was like, you just get me, ChatGPT. Thank you so much. Honestly, yeah. Highly recommend if you're ever having a funk.
Bezzy mate. Like, I don't understand how people don't like it. Like, I get it on the whole, like, you're taking jobs away and all of that. Like, I get that. But, like, me using it in day-to-day life, I can't even remember what I asked it to do the other day. Oh my God. I remember. We were, it was Valentine's Day and we were at a wine and tapas bar and there was no, we quite like a cab sav at the moment on the red front and there was no cab sav. So I took a picture of the menu and then I asked my little friend ChatGPT, I said, look, what's the nearest to a cab sav? It gave me a full breakdown of the menu, where the wine was from, what was going to be nearest, what was going to be closest. I was like, I've got myself a wine connoisseur here.
Connoisseur? Yeah, it is incredible. Same thing, like if you go away somewhere, you can be like, I need a two-day itinerary for Paris. Hit me. Apparently it's really bad for the environment though, I've heard. Have you heard this?
No.
Apparently it like uses loads of electricity and like loads of water. Okay. And it's like really, really bad for the environment. Okay. So I try and use it. I mean, I'm like, I try and use it sparingly. That's not true. But sometimes I'm like, oh shit, you know?
And isn't that just like Google? Like, I feel like Google, like, because it's even on Google now. If you Google, like, ChatGPT answer will come up first.
Yeah. It's everything.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. It's the future. How do you feel about AI? Like, are you like apprehensive about it or are you like, meh?
No, I don't really get. I don't know. I'm a bit weird with anything like that. I almost become a bit, I'm just trying to think of the right word. I don't listen to the news. I don't keep up with what's going on. I don't like, I'm not really a.
You're a bit more head in the sand kind of gal.
I don't even think it's head in the sand. Like, I'm not avoiding it. I don't think. I'm just like, it doesn't bother me enough to care about it, which makes me sound even worse, I think. Like, it's, we're all dying, we're all getting shit, and I don't care. But like, I think sometimes, yeah, I don't know. Should I care?
You don't really have. Oh, you just seem like indifferent to it. You're like, oh,
that's what I think that's the right word. I'm indifferent. Like, I'm like, I think if it became something that I needed to care about because it had an emotional attachment to something in my life, then I probably would. But right now, it's like, it's indifferent to me.
Yeah, fair. I sometimes think as well, when new technologies, and like AI is not even new. I mean, we've been using it for a very long time. It's like a huge part of our life before. It just seems like it's more prevalent than ever.
Everyone's talking
because
about
it's like, yeah. But I also sometimes think that, like, I remember, for example, when I was a teenager and there would be all these like scientists or experts. I don't know what they're experts in exactly, but they were really worried about the English language going to shit because of how we used to message each other on our mobile phones.
Yes.
And they'd be like, oh, it's going to like destroy the English language because we would like almost write in short, not shorthand, but you know, write in slang because we had to do like 26 thumb presses to say hello.
Yeah.
So that, you know, I just know, sometimes I sort of think that like whenever there's something new or different, there's a lot of like fear around it. And I think it's going to be interesting to see like how it just progresses
and what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think with anything, there's like pros and cons to it.
Mm. I also think, I think I'm the way I am growing. I think having the experience of growing up in the UK and then living in Australia where you weren't pumped bullshit at all times, which is what the UK does. Like, when you actually look at the tabloids, the news, like, they're very clever in what they feed you, in how they feed at you, in how they deliver it, that everything's going to shit. And a lot of people in the UK then behave like that because that's what we're fed. I really saw the difference in Australia. I was like, oh, people don't live in fear all the time. Like, this is amazing. Like,
that's so interesting.
Yeah.
In terms of like what exactly, or just bad news in general?
Bad news. Like, the way it was delivered, like, I just think it was very different in Australia in the way, like, it wasn't this focus. Like, and just anything, like, even the tabloids with celebrities, like, they'll only share big news when it's something bad. They're never going to celebrate anyone at any given moment. Like, and I think there's a whole narrative in the UK that, like, the moment anything like that happens, it's like, right, let's focus on every single bit of negative that we can to, like, push and drive this fear, aka COVID. Oh, yeah. You know, like, and everyone's like says that to me. They were like, what's your experience of COVID? And I was like, I was in Australia and we were as locked down as the UK in some parts of it. And I cannot remember it being hell. But in the UK, everyone has so much trauma around it. And I genuinely think it's from what they were feeding, like a language they were feeding people at the time.
Actually, I've got a story for you. So the other day, I've dipped my toe back into Leon's dating pool. It's a cesspit. Someone has peed in the dating pool. What is going on? Why is it like this? Anyway, well, just the lack of integrity with people never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah.
Okay. And basically, I was talking to this one guy and conversation was going well, whatever. And we were talking on he had asked me out fairly quickly, which I like. I don't like to be talking for too long. Like, I'm just like, why are we here? Pointless. Yeah. Don't want a pen pal.
Yeah.
So he asked me out pretty quickly. And then we went on, so it was on the Wednesday and he goes, right, here's three places, choose from one of these places. And I was like, great, love that. Yeah. Leading, gorgeous. Yeah. I can see your masculine energy.
Yeah.
We love to see it. And then, so I was like, oh, great. So I chose one of the spots. And then he was like, cool. So then we decided Friday at this spot, we didn't have a time, but it was on the Wednesday. I was like, cool. Like, I'll be in touch soon. Never heard from him again.
Just, don't you wish you could like show up to their house and be like, do you know you're just an absolute dick?
It just makes me like,
what's wrong, like, with people?
Yeah. And I'm like, obviously,
are they like, what are they doing it for?
Well, yeah, I was like, well, that was a pointless endeavor on both of our parts. You know, why you literally have gone to the effort of choosing three spots that you wanted to go to. And that was, I thought, a really nice thing to do.
Yeah.
And we were chatting away. And then it was just not even to have, okay, what, cancel, do what you need to do. Like, mm-hmm. fine. If you don't want to go, mm-hmm. don't go. Like, he clearly did what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
However.
Tell me.
Let me know.
Yeah.
Because I'm sorry, that was prime time Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, egg on me. I mean, I should have, I'm not going to do that anymore, to be honest. When someone's like asked me on a first date on like a Friday night, a Saturday night, I'm like, absolutely not. Not I'm not reserving.
No.
No, because like chances of it being canceled are high. Chances of them being a complete waste of my time are high. So I was just like, no. Anyway, but it just really annoyed me. And then I was like, the audacity of a bald man. He was bald. He was 6'5".
Doesn't make up for it.
Which kind of brings you down to like 6'2".
Yeah, straight away. Chopped a couple of inches off.
Yeah, it chopped a few inches off, but you're still like a lovely height. Anyway, I was just like, that's annoying. Anyway, it really pissed me off on the Friday because I was just like, what a waste of my time. And the longer, the annoying thing is, the longer the day goes on, the more you're like, because I sort of assumed, I was like, didn't hear from him Thursday, but I was like, oh, I'm sure I'll hear from him like Friday morning or whatever.
Yeah.
And then as the day went on, I was like, oh, why I don't, this? I think this isn't happening. Anyway. Then I was like, fine, whatever, moved on, obviously, because I didn't know this person. Then I went on another date. And funnily enough, this was like a second first date because I had actually been out with this person like a year ago.
Okay.
And I was sort of seeing someone else at the time and I just sort of decided to like focus on that. And I just told him, oh, look, and I wasn't sure about him at the time, to be honest. I was like, yeah, like it was all right. But then I saw him again pop up on the dating app and I was like, I'm going to give him a like.
See what happens.
See what happens. And so we ended up going back out again. And within the first 10 minutes, he is racist. First 10 minutes. First 10 minutes.
What was your reaction?
So I'll tell you what he said. Basically, the night before, he had left his phone in a cab. And so he told me that, but he managed to retrieve it. And I said to him, I was like, oh, I had a bit of a nightmare last night then with your phone, but lucky you were able to get it back. And he was just like, yeah, he was like, so lucky. He was like, but you know, it's really lucky that he was from here because if he wasn't, I probably would have gotten it back, if you know what I mean.
If you know what I mean.
And I was like, I'm such a bad actress at the best of times anyway, because like all my emotions are always written all over my face. Like if I'm disgusted at something, it's written all over my face. If I'm sad, it's all over my, like, and I sort of like really narrowed my eyes at him and I was like, right. I actually wish I had said, no, I don't know what you mean. Please explain.
Yeah.
Because then he would have to actually like, say it. But at the time I was like, right. And he goes, and he sort of doubled down and he was like, yeah, like, you know, if they weren't from here, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, oh my God. And so I just outright, I was like, oh, that's racist. I was like, oh, so you're being racist. And he was like, oh, a little bit. And I was like, and you think, oh my God.
Jeez.
And it's so hard in those moments because you think, well, right, we're obviously never going to go anywhere. Like this is, I'm not going to, I'm never going to date a racist. And also, I will also think like, you've casually said that to me.
Like we're Bessie Mays, like you know that the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, so you're saying that to me, a virtual stranger. Imagine what you would say if you're more comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just thought that is mad. Like, what is going on here? Get me out of here. So anyway, I sort of like stuck it out for a bit, but it was fine. The rest of the date was fine. But I mean, you can't come back from that, can you?
No. The trust wall was broken.
The trust wall is broken. You, sir, are a racist.
Yeah.
And we can't progress. And I also think like that.
Did you message him?
No. He also didn't message me. So I was like, okay, cool. Ghosted by the racist as well.
You ghosted him too.
Yeah. It was a mutual ghosting. And there is something quite beautiful about a mutual ghosting.
That is nice. Yeah.
It is nice, especially because I was like, oh, if he messages me, I'm going to have to pie him again because I pied him once.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, no. So anyway, it was totally fine. I didn't have to do anything else again. But yeah, it was just like super disappointing. I was like, right. So one of them was a no-show and then one of them was a ghost.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. I'm sorry. Is something wrong with men? Because something seems to be wrong with them. Like, I don't know what it's like to date women, but I know what it's like to have female friends, and women tend to be much more emotionally intelligent, a lot more depth to them, can actually use their words and not be racist with them. Hashtag not all women, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, for God's sake, like even just, I don't know. So that was annoying. I have had one other one since and that went well.
Okay.
But to be fair, he was literally, I mean, the acts were not hard to follow. If you know,
they were there. Yeah. The bar was low.
The bar was in fucking hell. And so he could have literally just shown up and not been racist. And I'd be like, what a great guy.
Brilliant.
Like,
I want you to meet someone like randomly.
Well, yeah, same. But every time I go out, I don't meet anyone.
Yeah. It's so difficult, isn't it? I had views on the dating apps just purely because of experiences that my cousin had had when I was growing up, and I was quite close to her and she'd like tell me all the things so I had views of it when I was growing up, but like what I've heard you talk about, I'm like, well, that it kind of backs all of my views.
It's hard because they are good and they are also bad, so they're a great way to, they are a good way to meet people.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I don't know what other opportunities I'd have.
Yeah, like what else would you do? Yeah.
Yeah. Although the other day my friend did message me and he was like, Katie, I want to set you up with someone. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you for looking out for your single friends. Yeah, I feel like.
I like that.
A lot of people don't like think to set people up, you know? And I'm like, it's actually so nice.
That's cute.
Yeah. So that was really cute. I mean, nothing's come of it. I don't know what's happened there.
Let's check back in, circle around.
We'll check back in, follow, circle back.
Have you ever done speed dating?
Yes.
Have you? They do that in Shrewsbury. I see it like all the time advertised on the Shrewsbury.
Oh God, just go for intel purposes. Go with your baby.
Hello.
Willie, would you take us on? I did go to one in London and it was not good.
No.
It was for a laugh. Like I mainly went with a couple of girlfriends and we had a great time. And I actually went out afterwards and I did get a date, but just from someone in the wild. Yeah. But the people at the networking event, the guys there, I was like, hell no. Hell.
It makes me want to go
the awkwardness
of it. Like I cannot, there's nothing worse than even like watching someone be awkward. Like I can't bear it.
You get the secondhand embarrassment.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just like, I remember there was one guy there, actually one of my friends who might be listening. Hi, Katie. But she told me about Etois syndrome, where they have an ability to ask questions. And I've met a few people like this, right? So there was one guy at the speed dating and he was talking for like you know, you have 4 minutes. So if you can't hold a conversation in 4 minutes, God bless you, sir. Yeah. You know, there's not a lot of hope. I asked him questions about himself. Like, I think I asked maybe 4 questions in a row, to which, of course, he really had nothing interesting to say as well. Yeah. And I was just sort of like, and then I thought, no, fuck it. I'm not going to ask him any more questions. And I just sat back in my chair and just smiled at him. And I would have sat like that for the whole, the rest of the entire time. Because I was like, screw you. I have been working my ass off. You're giving me nothing. And you seem to be allergic to asking questions. So I just sat back. And then he was like, how many siblings do you have? And I'm like, oh.
Boring.
Lord. So yeah, needless to say, there was no future.
The end. Well, you're back in. The toe's back in. So
we've got a tentative toe.
A tentative toe. We've got good feels.
Do we? Do we have good feels?
Look, I'm trying to be a ChatGPT hype girl.
Thank you. I do appreciate. Yeah, I do feel a bit more like, I'm not saying optimistic, but I, because it's hard, it's really hard to stay optimistic when you're doing it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just because you have so many experiences that are like, oh, cool, like someone's disappeared or someone's like not followed through or whatever, or someone's racist. But then you just have to sort of like keep at it. It's really a numbers game and a resilience game.
Yeah. I can imagine I would be quite good at it because I feel like it's how the performing arts world felt.
Rejection after rejection.
Like just constant rejection, like 4 times a week. The job that I really wanted.
I was going to say, but didn't you hate it?
No, I actually loved it. It was the end that I hated. But yeah, I kind of feel like it would be like that because you're just constantly like, I really want this. I really want this. And what am I doing? It's hard to make it mean about you as well, isn't it? So,
yeah, although I think I am
way past that now, aren't you?
I think I'm way past that. Yeah. I think maybe in my 20s, I would have taken things a lot more personally, but now I'm just sort of like, whatever.
Yeah.
Especially if there's someone who I always think it's interesting when people get upset about people that they don't like. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You're like, you didn't like them anyway.
Yeah, I'm like, they get rejected and then, but they didn't like them anyway. And they're really upset about it. And I'm like, oh, this is an ego thing though. Yeah. You don't care. You don't know this man.
You just don't want to be rejected.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes just get more down about feeling optimistic about the whole process.
Yeah.
I would say. So sometimes I'm just like, oh, for fuck's sake, I'm 33 years old as of last week.
How does it feel?
I don't know. I hate my birthday. I don't want to sound like I'm being really negative in this episode, but I don't like my birthday. I get really existential around my birthday and I keep being like, where am I? What am I doing?
Did you have that this year?
A little bit, but not full. I didn't really allow myself to go there.
I didn't hear off you. So I was like, she's got through today.
Yeah, she's survived. Yeah, I did have a really nice day. I've sort of learned from the past. I used to not really make a thing of my birthday and that made it worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'd be like, no one loves me.
Yeah. I'm going to sit on my own.
Exactly. I remember 1 year I cried into the hole of a massage table and I was like, no, we're not doing that again.
I remember that year.
How do you feel about your birthday?
I don't like it, but for different reasons.
Okay. Do you want to share?
So
do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, I will. I'll open up about it. No. So birthdays were like very, very special in our house. Like we're like a very experienced house. Everything's big. Everything's like, you know, I think I've talked about this before. Like if we're having tacos, let's get the Mexican hats out. Like it was, you know, everything's like kind of big. And I think like I do that for other people's birthday. So like it's my mom's 60th in a couple of weeks and we're going away and I've been doing a lot of prep for it. I'm doing a lot for it. Like I want her to feel as special possible. And then when it gets to my birthday, I have the same expectations of what I do for others from me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and then it always goes that down doesn't like a sack happen. Of shit.
Not in a bad way, like not because people don't want to do it. It's just because people might not have that in their realm of thought to do, right?
Yeah, they're not mind readers, yeah.
Yeah, it's like no one's fault. But then I get like, so like, no one cares. No one's like, I'm not special. Like I get all of that. Like for example.
For example.
I was pregnant last year. So like the hormones were hormoning. But Jack, like the first thing that happened last year is Jack had to work. Automatically I was like, you're working on my birthday, so
I hate you.
Yeah, how dare you,
worst day ever.
Yeah. And then so me and mom went to Trafford Centre, which is a shopping centre that I like really love, and I walked into the house to pick my mom up to go to Trafford Centre, and my dog Barney had like run in and she didn't say happy birthday to me. And then like it was like about 5 minutes later and she was like, oh, happy birthday. And I was like, dagger to the heart.
This is your mom.
Yeah. But that's not what she...
Come on, Jules.
No. That's not the case
at all. So your mom hates you.
My mom hates me, basically. And she's all about like, you know, making you feel special and stuff. But like I actively look for things on my birthday to like prove that people don't care about me, basically. Like, I don't know, like I've just done it for so long in the way of like, I should just throw my own birthday shit, like, and then I'll be happy because things will happen the way that I want them to happen. Control.
Yeah.
Like, here I am. But like, yeah, that's the reason why I don't like it, is because I want to feel special, and I don't want to tell people to make me feel special. Yeah. That's like just... stupid.
This is actually why we created the podcast, for this specific reason, so we can inadvertently tell you, because I'm honestly the same, Beck. Like my family were the opposite, so they never really did like big things on birthdays. In fact, I remember on my 30th, which was like arguably a big milestone, we did something during the day. And I will say my parents are incredibly generous people, yes, right? But just like on birthdays, we've never been like a family to make a big deal. But we did like something in the morning. I think I can't remember what we did during the day. It was just very low key. My mum gave me a package still in the Australia Post bag. Didn't even wrap it. I was like, cool. Do I look like a fucking Oz Post postman? and then they left me that evening to go down to the beach house. And I was like, cool. And then I ended up messaging my friend. I was like, what are you doing tonight? She was like, aren't you with your family? I was like, no, they've left. They've gone down to the beach house. And I'm kind of like wanting to be cool about it. And I was I wasn't, but I also wasn't emotionally. I was not emotionally. I was like, would it be nice to,
yeah.
And so I tend to find that I'm the same. Like, I'm like, oh, but then I can't talk because I don't think I really make a big deal out of anyone else's birthday. So maybe I need to start doing that. But in recent years, I have started making plans for my birthday because I know what it's like to not.
Yeah.
And I feel like shit. I'm like, well, let's just proactively not feel like shit.
I think that's what I've learned. Like, I can't, I was going to say, I can't rely on anyone to make me feel special.
That's the lesson here, guys. Trust no bitch.
But let me put myself into where I want the birthday to be, and then people can just be there to experience it with me, I think.
Yeah, above the line, baby.
Moving forwards. But yeah, my birthday's quite soon as well, 15th of April. So, but yeah, I'm 33 as well, so it's not really anything major special.
Yeah, 33. How do you feel about 33?
I like the numbers. I like threes. Yeah. I feel like we're 33 feels closer to getting older than like 32 did. I don't know why.
100%. 100%. I think this is where I start getting like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's still young.
Yeah, it's still young. But then I still equate like everything that I need to, you know, have done by now or should be doing. And then I'm like,
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
And I already feel like you're so much further ahead. Like you've got a baby, you've got a fiance. Like, do you know what I mean? So sometimes, and I look at some of my friends and I'm like, oh my God, not that that is the only metric.
No, you know, but we're kind of conditioned to put ourselves on that metric. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And so I end up being like, oh my God. And then I think, but I'm a baby.
Yeah. Like there's and sometimes I do like, you do have to put it into perspective sometimes. Cause for example, my mom, 60, I'm like, God, that's like quite far away for me still, and she's still having a great life. Like my life doesn't, like I kind of act as if like it's coming to an end, which it could at any given moment. But if I am here and last, then like that's a long time. Like that's a really long time. That's nearly like the whole of my life that I've already had again. Like what could I do in that? Like in that, and I just go, I like kind of shift to that instead.
Yes, 100%.
My nan was 100. So
that's amazing.
Have another, you know, many years
ahead. 70 years on this fucking floating rock.
82 years.
I mean, that's some good genes you've got there.
Yeah.
I will say.
Yeah, she's the, her last name was Salt. She's the salt of the earth.
Salt of the earth.
Love that. She was a dream. Yeah, so I don't know. There's a potential. There's a very high potential.
There's a stench for potential.
Yeah, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm starting to just be like, stop it. Like, if I can feel that thought spiral coming on, I'm like, Katie, it's not helpful.
Yeah.
You are where you are, and you're not in a bad position by any means.
Yeah, you're not going to get there quicker by worrying about it. Yeah.
Exactly. So sometimes it's just like, okay, just chill. And then I'm like, okay. And then I just try and chill in a frantic way. And it's fine.
In a frantic manner.
Exactly.
And that's our life.
Exactly. All right, my honey, shall we wrap things up?
Sounds good to me. We didn't know where this was going to take us, but it took us.
We never do. It's like a river. It flows. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. Please like, subscribe, do whatever you need to do to push this bad boy out. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody. Send this to the guy that didn't show up on my date, okay?
Yeah, tell him.
Send it to any 6'5" baldies out there. Let's
call them in.
Exactly. And we'll see you all next week. Bye.
Bye.